And Jeff, you just opening everyone's heart in the beginning. It's just so sweet to experience what we're creating together, this energetic field. And it's important to acknowledge that part of it, because it can go unnoticed very easily if we don't kind of presence. You know, and Dennis's meditation just really kind of is the epitome of what we're after. We're after to have this this concrete relationship with that dimension of ourself that is the spirit that is here to make a difference in our world. And if we don't, if that's not what we try to reinforce, if we don't make our community effort, our purpose about really awakening to that dimension of who and what we are, you know, we're just kind of operating in a hopeful kind of theology as opposed to an empowerment theology. And I think that's what we have to offer that is unique and special in this world. Last week I was gone, and I was at another Unity Church in Massachusetts. And the reason why I was there is because they're interested in following our path, transitioning away from minister-centric to mission-centric ministry. And so I was there. But whenever I'm away and whenever I come back, I really, really feel a sense of appreciation for what we're creating together, and because it's very unique. Jane's on her way back. She was in Seattle this weekend at a writer's convention, where she had an opportunity to pitch her new book to agents and editors and publishers and rub shoulders with those who are in the business of being professional writers. And so she was inspired by that. So undoubtedly she'll come back and just have a lot of great things to kind of put pen to paper to. So she's on her way as we speak. But I wanted to, before I get into my talk today, just kind of mention that the last time I spoke here, how many of you were at the last time I spoke? So a lot of you weren't. And so it was all about how to manifest a greater good. And afterwards, so many of you mentioned how much that talk really spoke to you, or it was coherent, or I understood it. Yay! You know, there was a palpable response from that talk, and so I was curious as to what it was that seemed to be different. And while it did feel on my end feel good, it didn't seem like it was my best talk necessarily, which some folks commented on. And so I had to go back online and watch the talk to kind of see, well, what y'all see in it that I'm trying to kind of get, because it's kind of the zone for me. It's elusive. I don't know how to find it every Sunday, and for some reason I might have found it then. At least that was the feedback. And so as I was trying to kind of really unpack, well, how was that different? And why was it so different? And as I was watching the talk, it was indeed very coherent, and I was clear, and it seemed to be just flowing through me. And by the time it was done, you kind of walked away with, oh yeah, I can kind of see the whole thing. And what I discovered was what I was doing is I was answering a question, a how-to question. Have you ever had somebody ask you a how-to question? And if it's something that you know how to do, you connect up with a dimension of yourself that just sort of starts to roll out the response. And so it became easy for me to see, oh, okay, I see what happened is I was answering a question, and I was tapping into a dimension of myself that we all have. It's just that we don't really go there that often. We don't go to the dimension where we really ask, you know, how do I accomplish this greater good? How do I bring this forth? We're not interacting with that dimension of ourselves. And so as I saw that that's what was happening, I was interacting with that dimension of myself, as well as describing what my practice was, as well as kind of laying it out in a way that answered the question, in addition to how to create a greater good in our life. The other side of it was that I was answering what is probably the most important part of it, and that is why. Why? And so part of what I'm wanting to, let's see, let me make sure that's on. Part of what I'm wanting to have us understand is that until we understand the principle or the science or the understanding of how something works and why it works, it's hard for us to get in touch with how we bring it forth, because otherwise we're just taking a principle like there's just God going on, and yet we still have all this evidence of something else happened. How do we kind of deal with the evidence when that greater principle is the backdrop, the reality that is underlying everything? So the how-to becomes easier once we understand what's underlying it, what's behind it. And so as we understand, as I mentioned last time I spoke to this subject, you know, Albert Einstein says that the field is the governing agency unto the particle. And so our life, if we think of our life as being kind of like the form, the particle, what governs the quality of our life is the field, our state, how we are being with what we're having. That generates the field that we're experiencing, and that field feels for us or not, depending upon the context of our collapsing this field of infinite possibilities. And so if we're collapsing it in the context of our not enough, you know, sort of that's sort of what shows up for us. So I mentioned last time in the context of answering the question, you know, this whole idea of it's possible to manifest a greater good when we understand that part of that effort is to connect up to the field of infinite possibilities. That we have to understand that whatever it is that we're trying to draw into our life already exists in the field. And if we don't understand that that's the foundation of the entire creative process, our entire life arises from that very same field. But if we don't understand that we have to dial it in, so to speak, that we have to understand that whatever it is that we're wanting, a greater good, a sense of wholeness, fulfillment in our life, the right relationship, or a hangar for an airplane project, whatever greater good we're wanting for ourselves, we have to know that it's already there in the field of infinite possibilities, and part of our connecting to that is in that awareness. But that's not the whole thing, of course. The whole thing is to know that we have to draw it into our life, and part of that effort is to feel it's already present, because as I mentioned last time, our brain doesn't really know the difference. And so part of the challenge is part of the how-to includes understanding why we have to retrain our body, because our body is addicted to the chemistry of not enough. Our body is addicted to the chemistry of being a victim. And so we have to kind of override that circuitry by looking at and holding on to that greater good, whatever, wherever it is, and we have to feel connected to it as if it's present right now. And then we have to train our body emotionally to be as if that's the case. And so the whole idea of understanding that out there in the field, our greater good has a URL address, so to speak. I mean, oh, that's right, I need to wait till the second service to talk in those terms. but for those of you who understand the computer language, it's every possibility has an address, has a frequency. And we dial it in through our thoughts, through our feelings, through how we're being with what we're having. And if we don't understand that, we'll inadvertently want something to happen and then not engage the circuitry that actually can bring it forth. And we're bringing forth it using the very same circuitry right now. It's just that we're bringing forth our old self instead of something that breaks out of that. And so So what I'm wanting us to look at, and this is sort of getting into the purpose of this talk, and I can see that if I do this in the second service, we're just going to go. Yeah, we're just not going to get to the rest of the talk. Well, you see, I'm preaching the choir right now, so. But there are sufficient folks that aren't in the choir here who came to the 9 o'clock service because this is where they get something special. Okay, so I'm wanting to in the effort of explaining how not to get triggered when someone judges you, to explain the principle that is the reason why I'm trying to do this talk, and that is, we need to be interested in the why of something before the how becomes really effortless, so to speak. So when Jesus says, you know, take no thought for your life, well, how do you do that? And if we don't understand the why underlying that admonition of his, then we won't take the effort it takes to kind of push through the habits of being that have us locked into a certain way of being with what's going on. And so I'm just picking a habit of being that most of us have, and that is we're in the habit of becoming defensive when someone judges us. We get triggered. And so I'm wanting to use as an example that conundrum. How do I not get triggered when someone judges me? And so I'm going to say that I'm going to show you how you cannot get triggered, but you won't be able to practice it until I tell you the why underlying it. So that's where I'm going, and because of the first service, I'm going to get it all out of my system. So as we look at this whole idea of how, I'm wanting us to understand that all of us are kind of in that challenge of how do I improve my life? How do I create a greater experience of well-being? The how is always out there for us to kind of be in the struggle with. And if you think of anything that is a part of your effort to kind of move into a greater, more expansive, more holistic way of being, the how is always coming up against all the conditioning that we have. And so the effort becomes more than just simply having the steps. The effort becomes working against the conditioning and all the lifetime of living a certain way. So if we can have a sense of why are we doing this, why is it important for us to be in the process of clearly understanding how to manifest a greater good? Because, you know, that helps us be motivated to go through and push through the obstacles to being able to learn how to do that. As I mentioned last time, the biggest obstacle to manifesting a greater good is that we go to when is this going to happen or how is this possible? And the moment that we do that, we separate ourselves from the field of infinite possibilities. We lose our connection to what is trying to find us. So we have to ultimately, in our spiritual practice, all spiritual practices, regardless of their flavor or genre, have as their aim to help us transcend this system. This is a way of understanding the circuitry of our habits of being, what keeps us locked into our yesterday self. And if for us to kind of transform our life, awaken to a greater good, or not be triggered when someone judges us, we have to step out of the habits, the circuitry that have us locked in to our reactive defensive behaviors. So all how-tos are going to be having us try to step out of the system, try to reform this system, and so we still have to use these circuits. We still have to create states of being, and the repetition of those states create habits of being. We still have to do stuff, but the repetition of our behavior creates habits of doing, and so on and so forth. So ultimately, our spiritual practice, whether it be meditation or the Q process or anything that we do to heal ourselves, to awaken, has to lift us out of this kind of circuitry. And so here's the how-to, okay? And remember, okay, I'm going to teach you now how to not get triggered when someone judges you. And so this is what I'm going to ask you to do. And then I'm going to get your reaction. And then I'm going to tell you why. And then we'll see where it goes, okay? So when someone judges you, this is what you do. You say, tell me more. Okay? Okay, so now if we just landed at that, that would be a kind of, wow, okay. No way am I going to do that. I mean, what's up with that? How is it possible that by telling someone who's judging me, oh, say more about that, won't you please? How is that going to keep me from being triggered? Okay, so can we see that just in being told that this is what you should do, it's not going to lead necessarily to a big behavioral change? I mean, Jesus says, you know, take no thought for your life. You know, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or what kind of job you have. And so how can we just go there? How can we just kind of abandon all of our worries, all of our cares? And so without having a sense of understanding the principles behind it, we're sort of lost. And so for instance, I'll give you an example. I'm not allowed to talk about Jane and me, so I have to kind of reach back to a different kind of wife time. But in a previous wife time, my previous wife, Nan, would always make this complaint, this judgment, that I never take her out to dinner. She would say, Gary, you never take me out to dinner. Now, at the time, I was director of peacemaking services for the Unity Movement. I traveled probably once or twice or three times a month, and so I was gone quite a bit. And whenever I was gone, it seemed like there would be some kind of problem or issue or whatever. And so when I would get back, you know, I would get this, you never take me out to dinner. And I would say, well, what do you mean I never take you out to dinner? I mean, don't you remember the last time we talked about going out to dinner? Chinese, Mexican, Chinese, Mexican, Chinese, Mexican. I hate Mexican. And so when she would say to me, Gary, you never take me out to dinner, was it about dinner?
No.
What was it about? Who knows what it was about? The point is that you don't know what it's about, because when you're reacting to someone's judgment, you're making that judgment about you. So when I would react to her judgment, I would make her judgment about me. When it's not about me, but I make it about me. And now it's all about me dealing with my discomfort about her telling me that I don't care about her, or at least that's the story I'm making up now. But when we understand that there's a deeper principle at work, when we understand why someone is judging us, we can begin to understand that there's a deeper dynamic going on besides just our reacting to someone that's accusing us and our now dealing with our own sense of not measuring up or our own sense of inadequacy. Because we can sort of now, most of you who've been through the Q process can now see that what is underlying our reaction to someone's judgment is really, it's a mirror unto our own disconnect. And so when we understand that our reaction to someone's judgment is always a mirror unto our own disconnect, that helps us understand that, okay, we have that deeper work to do in terms of addressing that underlying limiting belief. But I'm talking now about a technique for actually dealing with what gets created when we inadvertently make somebody the matter with us through our reaction, and why we must correct that behavior, because that creates karma. That creates Karmageddon. Because whenever we inadvertently react to someone's judgment and make it about us, and the resolution of our discomfort is about making you wrong, or the person who's judging us, now the bad person, for making me feel awful. You know, once when we understand that that's okay, that's the dynamic that we run the risk of letting it kind of run unchecked. Bless you. We have to get to a different place. We have to understand that the first principle is that no judgment is about you. And I'll prove it. Go ahead, judge me.
Think you're cool.
What's that?
Think you're cool.
You think I'm cool? I'll have to think about that. All right, so the point is that under normal circumstances, we have to go into our own sense of separation to judge somebody. Okay, so if we know that when someone's judging us, there's really something missing for them. Okay, if we understand that, if we understand what is missing for them, then we can maybe have a sense of why it's important for us to be staying connected to that person, because absent of, in the presence of someone's judgment, tell me more, we're doing this. I want to separate, I want to disconnect. And the way we separate is that we need to be right. We have to have things be a certain way. We make that person the matter with us. But when we understand that that's not what the judgment is about, and that's what we're doing that creates the karma of our life, and we understand we can't do that anymore, you cannot do that anymore, then we can now see, okay, what is the judgment? What, when someone is judging me, what do I need to say to myself so that I'm being, so I can stay connected? It's not about me. If I know that the judgment is not about me, the next thing I need to be able to do is I need to know what it's really about. Because every judgment is for you. It's not about you, but what if every judgment is for us? Now let's see why it's important for us to say, tell me more. So because a judgment may be about what is missing in the relationship. And the judgment is just a person's unskillful way to try to get our attention. But if we're so busy kind of defending ourselves and not knowing that that's what it's about, that someone saying, you know, you never take me out to dinner is really someone trying to get my attention, someone that I care about, and if I care about someone, then I should be curious as to what's missing for them. It's not that I can fulfill every single need of a relationship or of a person, but at least I'm able to be present to it and be able to say yes or no. That should be at least the integrity that I have. Another thing that might be missing is what the other person needs. Those of you who've been through the Q process know that we place the expectation of getting our needs met outside of ourselves. And whenever we do that, whenever we place that burden, we set ourselves up. But when we understand that when someone's judgment is about what's missing for them, then we can sort of see, well, they're looking to me to help them figure this out. And maybe that I can do, maybe I can be a partner in that. I don't know. I just know that I can't begin with, you know, pushing away. I have to begin with say more about me not ever taking you out to dinner. And where is it going to go next? Well, whenever you're gone, I always have to deal with all the stuff that happens around here. Okay, it goes there next, and so say more about that. Just let it unfold. Because what it's going to land on is you know, and whenever you're gone, I always feel like I'm always by myself with my life. There it is. It landed there. Okay. Now we can be with it, you see. Now we can be with, can we now see how the judgment is for us? If we can land on what it is that that person is truly, you know, and unskillfully looking to us to fulfill. And then finally, it could be about what we said or did that created some kind of disconnect or separation. And if we care about things, we want to know if our unconscious behavior inadvertently created a disconnect. And if we have that kind of awareness, we can say, oh my God, I didn't mean that. So say more about this. So if we can kind of get that, wow, you know, on some level, all judgment is really for me because it's trying to get my attention about what's missing. What's missing in the relationship? If I care about the relationship, it's important that I consider what someone's noticing as being maybe a deficit, weakness, incongruence. And or it might be about what that other person needs. And so I just, if for instance, if I'm reacting to Jane, I want to shift that so I can be present to what's being mirrored by that thing that I'm reacting to. And it's likely something's missing for her that I live to fulfill, because you know that's how it is. So anyway, so I may have run out of slides. I think I did. Yeah, this is a good spot to end. We'll see what happens second service. God bless you all. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. That was great. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God. For you know that we all know that there is only one power, one presence, one life. So whoever you are, wherever you are on your journey of transformation, you are always welcome here. We would especially like to welcome anyone who is here for the first time. And if this is your first time and you feel comfortable raising your hand, our ushers have a gift packet for you. On the outside of the packet, there is a form you can fill out to be added to our mailing list for our weekly e-news update and our quarterly newsletter. If you are interested, please fill it in and drop it in the love offering basket as it comes around instead of giving a donation today. You can also take the packet to the barista stand after the service and get a free beverage of your choice, and also to our bookstore and get a CD of today's marvelous lesson. So, is there anyone here for the first time, and are you willing to raise your hand? All right, welcome, right back there. We're glad to have you. I hope you'll come back again. Now it's time to welcome and greet each other with a handshake, a hug, a high five, whatever works for you. And we'll do our welcome song.
Okay, we're going to stand if you are able, and we're going to sing the God We Sing song.